Mike, good to talk to you, Chief.
Good to talk to you, Tom. How you been?
Good, good. Rich Herron, tomorrow, Celebration of Life. Mike and I, neither one of us are big fans of cliches, not that we don't occasionally use them, but when they say they don't make them like that anymore, it's not a cliche when it comes to Coach Rich Herron.
No, I would agree, Tom. It's and maybe this will be a cliche given the event tomorrow, but it's a life worth celebrating. There's so many of us who are better off from having been around Rich Herron, and tomorrow at 2 at the gym that's been named for him, gosh, how long now? 30 years? Will be the site for that. And no, they don't make him like that anymore. Both, you know, I don't want to be so emotional and tug at too many hearts by saying they don't make somebody like him, they don't make people like him anymore from a personal standpoint, because there's plenty of good people out there, and there always will be. And most are good people, and Rich Herron's one of the best.
Right.
Now, loyal to a fault. But at the same time, as a basketball coach, I don't think they make them like that anymore. And not from, you know, the standpoint that you usually think about that time. You usually think about guys that coached in the 60s, 70s, and 80s as being tyrants. Rich Herron was anything but that. Rich Herron was a player's coach before it was cool to be one. And so it's not from that standpoint. It's from the way he handled things basketball-wise, the freedom he gave to players offensively, the requirement he had that to have good teams for the way he coached, he had to have talented offensive players who knew the game because he gave them such tremendous freedom. That's the thing that isn't there as much anymore, and probably not at all.
But here's the thing, Mike, when you've never played for Coach Rich Herron and he's the opponent, and the mystique of Coach Rich Herron with an undefeated season in high school in 67, 66, 67, 71, and 75. All right, 71, 75 was the time I was playing basketball. And when you were going to what was then just the Rangers Gymnasium, right, there was this mystique. He scared me to death to no end. And then I mean, literally scared me. And as time went by, I realized I wasn't scared. I was just plain intimidated. And I mean, with him, it was, you're going to Rangers, you know, play the Rangers in high school. You're going to get your butt kicked, right? You better come in there ready to play. Had the best game I ever had because I was scared of intimidated of him and his team and those shirts, boys.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that mystique. And you know, people, I think, may have forgotten, Mike, it was a pretty controversial decision. We're going to put a high school basketball coach in charge of SIU?
No, God. Oh, it was. There's no question about it. It looks more dramatic. It looks more out of character. It looks more what the hell today than it did then. Southern didn't have many options then. Southern was at the precipice of, I believe, dropping to Division II. I don't think I'm in the majority on that, but other people don't put up as big of an argument about it or effective of an argument. I think of Southern, I believe all along, and I told him this a couple of months before he died, that if, because he had heard I had said it behind his back, and I I said, yeah, I believe that. If you don't get going in your fourth year, I think they drop it down because financially they had to. It was worse then than it is now, and it's not good now. And but at the time they just had no choices because it was the job was no good, and they didn't have any money to spend. You know, sometimes if you have a bad job, but if you have twice the salary, no matter what field you're in, you get a better candidate than you deserve. And Dean Stuck, who was in charge of athletics at that time, didn't have that. And Southern was so far from that, that a high school coach with a tremendous record and tremendous influence in the area, politically and otherwise, could make the impact and could get the job. And And so he did, and the rest is history. I'm sure glad you mentioned cliches at the start of this, Tom, so I could throw about two of them in there and disprove your theory we don't go for cliches.
Right. Rich's best hire at SIU was Ron Heron and put him in recruiting. I just saw a note from somebody else. And you know what this reminds me of? I'm looking at the text coming in. Because we have a tendency to frame Rich Heron in basketball. Easy enough to do. Coach in the front of his name. But when you look at the kids that he had effect on that never played a day after high school or never played another day after SIU in college basketball or Northland College or Marion High School, or, you know, that the people he had in contact with and inspired them, taught them, coached them, that never played another day of basketball, there's a whole new category of Rich Heron here.
Yeah. Yeah, there sure is. And that's what I mean about the influence he had on so many people inside and outside of the game. I think about how you described him when you played and Harrisburg played at Benton. And that's exactly the persona he wanted. First thing he wanted was good players. And he wanted a good team. And he wanted to win. And he doesn't have any of the mystique. He doesn't have the aura. He doesn't have the reputation, and if his teams don't win, that's the number one thing. At least the circle of influence isn't as big if he doesn't win. But he has so many guys who coach now. I was talking to Paul Lusk last night, and he will be there tomorrow. And so many guys that played for Southern, it's very underpublicized, the number of people who either do coach or have coached. Who played for Heron or were influenced by Heron. Back to the note that you got when his program didn't, recruiting saves everything.
I was recruiting getting ready to say that, Mike, because yeah, that's the other thing. Recruiter.
Yeah. And when he changed coaching staffs, which was a very, I know, difficult position decision for him personally. After 3 years, when he changed his coaching staff, that's when he got going and figured out how to recruit at the college level and got guys who could recruit for him and then defined his role in the recruiting process, which was to be cool with mom and dad and to talk about you know, his strengths and what Southern wanted to do offensively, which was very appealing to a player like Chris Carr, to Marcus Timmons. To a Paul Lusk after he had been at Iowa. And, you know, those Chris Lowry. The offensive freedom,
right.
Capitalizing on your knowledge. And he did that, and once they started recruiting, his program took off. And getting Shipley out of Centralia, Rick Shipley, and Sterling Mahan out of suburban Chicago were the two recruits that triggered his program's rise.
You know, it's interesting, Mike. The last time I saw Rich, we were both waiting in line at the hardware store. And I say, hey, Coach, how's things going? It's good, good. It's Tom Miller. I'm sorry. I work with Mike Reese. Oh, Tom. Right? And because here's the thing that not many people know, and I'm going a little off the reservation. I hope Mike forgives me. Mike and I have been friends for a long time. We didn't know each other, and we were deeply suspicious of each other when we first met. But we got to be good, very good friends. And here's one of the things I've learned from Mike Reese, and you can hear it in his broadcasts. He tries to keep a professional distance between himself and the coaches that he interviews at the team because someday they'll be gone. And, you know, you've got to stay kind of above this when you see coaches move through while you stay at the program. So he's always to try to keep a professional distance. But I always got the idea that maybe you kind of abdicated your own rule to a certain extent when it came to Rich Heron. I got the idea that you guys were close on a level that you may have never been close with another coach like at SIU in their program.
I think you're mostly right. I would put Bruce Weber in that conversation too,
yeah.
Tom, simply because he and I are the same age. And there's a lot of things that are similar when you're the same age. And Bruce Weber, much like Rich Heron, played a huge role in my career. And but I get what you're saying with Rich. You know, and my philosophy has always been, I have a reporter's background, which leads to how I approach it. And but if you're going to do one team's games, you better be for that team. I don't think you have to be a sellout for that team, but you have to be for that team. Otherwise, because the fans are for that team, they want you to want their team to win. At the same time, I think Southern Illinois fans want to be told the truth about their team, and you can tell the truth without belaboring the positive or belaboring the negative. But when you work around good people like Rich Herron, I'm human too, and I want my friends to succeed. And he reluctantly he would not put my style in the Hall of Fame. He would not put that would not be his preference for the radio play-by-play voice for his club. But after he was gone from Southern, I frequently have people that I've covered sign pictures for me. I put them up in my home. And, of course, Herron's one of them. And because of our background, because we liked each other, but because I knew that my style wasn't his preferred, when he signed it to Mike, a great friend and the best play-by-play man ever, that meant the world to me. Because I so respected what he accomplished and what he did for SIU, the product that I was, was working on, for him to notice that really meant the world to me. And it's an autograph that I cherish, and I think is one of the ways that describes our relationship.
Yeah, they say pictures aren't important. Well, they aren't when they're the only thing you have left. Mike Reese, voice of the Salukis, tomorrow at a Benton Gymnasium, Rich Herron Gymnasium in Benton at 2 o'clock. It's a celebration of life. This is a celebration that Mike told me is being organized by his family. Will you be speaking tomorrow, Mike?
I will not. They have a handful. You could have everybody speak, and the darn thing would go from 2 to 10.
True.
And then you'd leave somebody out, and you'd feel mad. And I know Sue, his wife, and Randy, in particular, one of his sons, are the ones who are organizing it. They will show a video from Southern, but they have speakers from each part of his career. And that's the way it should be. Rodney Watson will be one of the speakers. And so it's open to everybody. Admission is free, and it starts at 2 at Rich Herron Gym.
All right, so the opportunity tomorrow, because, you know, COVID has put a lot of people off, and there's a unique opportunity here because Coach died December 25th, 2020. Here we are right now, just now free enough to where we can have these celebrations that so many other families can painfully attest to. Born April 6, 1933 in Bridgeport, Illinois, Coach Rich Herron, 735.